The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, bearer of truth and life. Amen. This morning, I would like to begin with a story from our archives from 1945. The spirit of home missions has been present in the development of the new Christ the King Evangelical Lutheran Church, Houston. The need of the new mission was recognized when it was learned that this area of 25,000 population had no Lutheran church. A survey was made by the Women's Missionary Society of Augustana Church, Houston, under the direction of Miss Gladys Peterson, survey worker of the Board of Home Missions. This revealed a crying need for immediate work in the field, and worship services were begun. The effort was not in vain, for on August 26, 1945, the congregation was organized with 16 communicant members and 6 children. In September, the writer was called to become the pastor of the newly organized congregation, and he began his work on December 1st. The story continues now with the pastor speaking in first person. "Never have I met a group of people so enthused over the work of their church. When two or more of them are gathered, they begin to talk of the work, the names of prospective members, and the new church they hope to build. They feel that that which has come to pass is the answer of prayer, and that, with God's help, they are going forward. They feel that they have something to offer the people of the community, and that they have met the prerequisite of being sold on it themselves. Another encouragement that has come to the pastor is the interest that has been manifested by people outside the congregation. Such manifestations of Christian love and interest are inspiring examples of the spirit of home missions." This hand-typed letter was composed by Pastor Kenneth Larson upon arriving in December of 1945 to shepherd this small group toward God's mission in their time and place. And so, Christ the King Lutheran Church, here we are. Can you imagine with me, for just a moment, what it must have been like for that group of 16 adults and 6 children? I wonder what it was like to gather during that time, during World War II, hoping to develop a new spiritual home for their community. Was it scary? Did it carry stress and worry? Was it exciting? Were they taking a big risk following Jesus? I imagine yes, 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 and a big yes. The home missions movement was one where small groups went out into their neighborhoods, building relationships, creating spaces to pray, to worship, to discern God's mission, and to serve those in need. And then they would bring these spaces together, growing in numbers and structure and process. And here we are today, beloved Christ the King community. As I paged from that binder of the archives, I was overcome with a sense of gratitude. I could palpably feel their trust in God, their energy drawn from discernment in God's mission, and a movement of the Spirit propelling them to fully use their gifts to serve their neighbor. Christ the King, as our namesake, is intimately linked to the reading from the Gospel of John that we heard today. It's a familiar reading, as we hear it every year on Good Friday as part of what we call the Passion Narrative. Today's piece of it includes a conversation between Jesus and Pontius Pilate that focus on Jesus' identity as king. Pilate is asking Jesus about his kingship and about what he has done wrong. Pilate wants to know, what has led to Jesus being handed over by his own people as a criminal to receive the sentence of death by crucifixion? The explanation Jesus offers does not satisfy Pilate's curiosity, but it does reveal something about Jesus' kingship. Jesus explains that the reason he was born, the purpose for him to come into the world, was to testify, to bear witness, to give evidence to the truth. As Pilate will eventually ask Jesus, we might also wonder, what is truth? What was the truth that Jesus was bearing witness to, and how did Jesus bear witness to it? The Greek word that's used for bearing witness here is martyreo, which is where we get the English word martyr. One bears witness by giving their life for the sake of the other. In his life, Jesus bore witness to the truth by praying and teaching and healing, by bringing those apart from community into community, by restoring humanity and dignity of people, regardless of age, ethnicity, or social status, by challenging injustice and separation from God's desire for relationship, an abundant life for all. In his death, Jesus bore witness to the truth by emptying himself on the cross, revealing God's promise. And in his resurrection, Jesus bore witness to the truth by viscerally proclaiming that death and sin do not have the final word, but love and forgiveness and eternal life are the ultimate truth. Our passage today concludes with Jesus declaring, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." As disciples of Jesus, we want to listen to Jesus' voice. This declaration of Jesus catapults us backward in the Gospel of John to the Good Shepherd narrative, where Jesus talks about his sheep who hear his voice and listen to him. Now, you all know me as your senior pastor, but I was a shepherd of actual sheep before I was a shepherd of people. I owned a small hobby farm on 10 acres in Pennsylvania, and I raised a variety of animals and crops over time, which gave me new perspectives on many stories from the Bible, including the story of Jesus as Good Shepherd. One of the biggest joys I had as a farmer was raising goats and sheep. Each spring came with the excitement of new baby kids and lambs that were fluffy and curious and always ready to play when they weren't sleeping. If we were milking the mothers, we would move the babies into a separate stall in the evening time, and then after milking the mothers in the morning, we would open the gate of the stall, and we'd watch the babies go out into the pasture bleeding. Bah. Lots of bah. And then their mothers would bleat in response. Bah. and the babies and mothers would find each other and would go off into the pasture for the day. Lambs and sheep do not have great eyesight. They rely on sound to find each other. My children would beg me to bring these babies into the house and to hold Goaty and Lammy preschool, where they would teach them how to jump and lay down and run and nap. The baby animals loved the attention, although maybe not so much the school uniforms that were created for them to wear. But because of this time that the animals spent with my children, they came to know the sound of their voices and would anticipate attention and treats upon hearing their voices. One particular sheep, which they named Bunny, as she was born in early spring, followed my children around like one might imagine Mary had a little lamb followed Mary around, right behind them wherever they went. Bunny was very in tune to my children's voices and would perk up, ready to follow whenever she heard them. So on Good Shepherd Sunday, we took Bunny to church with a diaper on for the children's message, and Bunny waited in the narthex with me as the children quietly made their way up to the front with the pastor. And then when cued, they called out, "Bunny! Bunny!" And the lamb immediately started running toward their collective voice, leaping for joy where she found them. Imagine the lamb running up. There's an intimate relationship between a shepherd and sheep. The shepherd does more than leading, and the sheep do more than walking behind the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep with constant attentiveness to the sheep, making sure there's not only sufficient food, but preparing that pasture to be rich and nutritious for seasons to come. The shepherd wakes out of sleep in the middle of the night if a frantic bleat rings out, indicating danger or the impending birth of new lambs. The shepherd creates and sustains the rhythm of the pasture gate opening and closing according to what is best for the sheep, depending on the day, the season, and the year. The shepherd really does lay down their life for the sake of the sheep, and the sheep seems to sense this in their whole being. They hear the shepherd's voice. They trust its sound, though they cannot see the shepherd clearly, but they run toward that sound, knowing the shepherd brings nourishment and opportunity and life. Are we listening to our shepherd, Jesus' voice? And what is Jesus telling us, reminding us, and urging us to do in our particular time and place? The purpose for which Jesus was born and came into this world is also why Christ the King Lutheran Church was born and came into the world. And so the question becomes, how do you and I bear witness to the truth that is Jesus? How do we make our life's purpose and mission to carry that healing and forgiveness and abundant life that Jesus promises to all of those who are suffering in our world? Beloved community, today's a special day. It's Christ the King Sunday. It marks the end of our liturgical year. Next weekend marks the beginning of a new liturgical year, which starts with the first week of Advent, a season of 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, where we pause to wait, to prepare, to reflect, to discern. Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes this season of Advent on December 2nd, 1928, in a sermon given to a German-speaking congregation he was serving in Barcelona, Spain. He proclaimed, and I quote, "Celebrating Advent means learning how to wait. Waiting is an art which our impatient age has forgotten." He recognizes that waiting is often fraught with anxiety and uncertainty, but he urges, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come." And so, to those of you who are waiting with uncertainty, I urge you to fully immerse yourself in the season of Advent with Christ the King, your spiritual home. We will gather midweek all through the season to explore themes of responsibility and hope, transformation and renewal, and preparation and faith through worship, music, art, scripture, and sharing a meal together. Come and invite a friend or two to join you. Embracing the spirit of our charter members, let's tell others what we have been sold on and invite people in our communities to spend time with us on our faith journey. Christ the King Lutheran Church began as the Spirit breathed through what was referred to as home missions. The spirit of home missions that Pastor Kenneth Larson referred to was a pioneering spirit, a creative and innovative spirit, a living and moving and breathing spirit. And that same spirit is very alive and with us here today, as we end our liturgical year welcoming new members into our spiritual home. May the spirit of God's mission urge us to wait together, to pray together, to long for Jesus together, and to move into our community together to serve and proclaim the good news, participating in the abundant life that is Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.